Good morning. Welcome back to Shmir's Halashon class learning. Let's begin with the Tefillah Al HaDibur, please, on the inside front flap. Ribono Shel Olam, Yei Ratzon Fanecha Al Rachem Lachanim Shetzakenu Hayim L'Chol Yom Lishmar Pi L'Shorim Milashon Hara Rechilas Ezarim Le'Dabra Afilu Al Yishyachim Akol Shekein Akal Yisrael O Al Chelek Mehem Akol Shekein Mel Yisraim Al Midosav Shal Kolish Baruch Hu Ezarim Le'Dabra Dibre Shaker Chanufa Mechol Kes Kas Gaiva Onas Tvar Malbanas Padim Leitzaris Lechol Dibur Asur V'Zakeni Shlo Le'Dabra Kim Dabar Hatzari Chilinani Gufi V'Nafshi Yiu Kol Masai V'Dibur Al Yishem Shemayim Amin. We are learning Lilui Nishmaso and the Zecher Nishmaso Tzvi Gershom Ben Yoav V'chara Lav V'shal Meiz Nishama have continuous Aliyah on the merit of our Torah. Your promotion for his chos refuah for bracha v'gai bas racha gud b'soch sh'achale Yisrael. Well, we are on page 154, please. You could open up. We're actually on page 155, but I don't like to start in the middle of a paragraph. So what we'll do is go back to page 154 and not review the sources we learned last time, but just to not begin in the middle of a paragraph. Uveir kasuv shim ha'adam holeich chas v'sham ba'atzas v'shaim. If a person walks with the advice of the wicked, uveder chata'im, and with the ways of the sinner, u'mischabrei maleitim. And something that we've been discussing is noting the quality of your friends. I remind the quantity, but the quality of your friends. Are they the dangers of the tzanus? Are our friends people who bring us up or people who bring us down? And even if in a moshe of leitzim, in a community of scoffers and rashai mechatim, even though sometimes there are divrei Torah, you should know that these conversations with those type of people do not carry any power of kedusha. We quoted at length last time from the Sefer Sparkling Speech, and we saw sources inside, because even though you are speaking Devrei Torah and Devrei Kedusha, mixed in with that is the shell of Tuma, like it says in Holy Tefillah, we quoted at length from source in Sparkling Speech. Aval imhu adam yashar. If he is a yashar person, a straight person, shalo halach, top of page 156, shalo halach batzat v'shayim, he does not walk in the ways of the wicked. Umei olam lo hitchaber im aleitzim. And he is always careful to not be mischaber, to not make friendships with mockers, with scoffers. There are certain type of people who are always sarcastic. There are certain type of people, well, everything's a joke. There are certain type of people who are always putting everybody else down. There are such people that they are never, nothing is ever serious. Even if it comes to Torah mitzvos, everything is always a negative. Things are always a sarcastic joke. And it's, you have to be careful, first of all, not to be that type of person, and not to be mischaber with those type of people. And certainly all of your words and all of your actions should be yashar, and not pigam is like afflicted, like an injury. Your words should be straight and your actions should be straight, and they shouldn't be with those kind of people. Also, ha'ish royli stabik the Torah Hashem. That type of person who is careful not to associate with those type of people is one who will be midabik, who will cling to the Torah of Hashem, v'lahagos bo yamam v'layla, and to contemplate Torah day and night. So I cut this out. It's very nice. Yonason Rosenblum, Rabbi Yonason Rosenblum? I don't know. Yonason Rosenblum had this was in Mishpacha, it was in the immediate aftermath, the week after the Siyum HaShas and MetLife. So at the first I thought it was relevant to what we're learning, to be a person who is Dabeik, who clings to Torah Sashem and who contemplates Torah Yomam V'Layla. At the first Siyum HaShas, I'm sure you heard this, it's very famous, but I'm just quoting from this article. At the first Siyum HaShas, held in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin, the initiator of the worldwide Daf Yomi schedule, peered into the gathering gloom. It was a difficult time in Europe. Lahavdil, a difficult time today. Also, he quoted the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, in which Rabbi Gamliel describes standing on the deck of a ship, and he saw a nearby ship that crashed, and it broke apart, and Rabbi Akiva was cast overboard. After reaching dry land, Rabbi Gamliel was shocked when the same Rabbi Akiva, who he saw cast overboard after the ship capsized, appears before him to engage in a halachic decision. Rabbi Gamliel asked him, this is Ayivamas Kufchaf Aleph Amar Aleph. Rabbi Gamliel asked him, how had you survived being thrown into such a watery depth? Rabbi Akiva replied, a daf, a board, floated off the boat. It reached into my hands. I grabbed it. I bent my head before each and every wave that came toward me until I reached the shore. Rav Shapiro emphasized that Rabbi Akiva lived during one of the darkest periods of Jewish history. It was a metaphor for the dark time they were in, the European Jews. marked by the loss of national independence, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, but even under the harshest Roman edicts against Torah learning, he produced outstanding Talmidim. He himself became one of the greatest leaders we ever had. The daf of the ship is sort of a play on words. The daf of the ship to which Rabbi Akiva held tight can be understood metaphorically, the daf Gemara, which we must hold tight for protection against the evils of the day and the far greater horrors that were still yet to come. So I thought this was a beautiful example of understanding that the opposite of being mischaber with leitzim and sitting with Rasha'im and walking in the ways of Chata'im is someone who is Daveik to Torah Sasharim and someone who clings to Torah Yomam V'layla. So literally here, Rabbi Akiva said, how did he survive? He said, I clung to the Daf, I clung to the Torah, and it helped me survive. Your sister-in-law, Ya'al Axelrod, reached out to me before I read the email that she wrote me. Are very appreciative. It is about the second Yahrzeit, if anyone remembers, of Raziel Shavach. Raziel Shavach was murdered in Israel on January 2018. I'm going to show you his picture. Rabbi Raziel Shavach was slain in a West Bank terror attack Tuesday night. I'm reading from the Times of Israel. I'm not yet Yael's piece. He was remembered by friends and acquaintances as a good-hearted family man, a central figure in the community of Chavat Gilad. He was a very special person, who said his friend Yehuda Haas, who volunteered with him as a medic. He was a medic in Magen David Adom. Just recently, he received a citation for his work with Magen David Adom. He was the unofficial rabbi of Chavat Gilad, their small community. He was 35 years old, the father of six, a rabbi in a yeshiva and a moyo. He was a very well-known mayil here in the area entirely as a volunteer. He didn't take payment. He was a great man with a great 35 years old. Shavach was shot dead Tuesday, this is in January 2018, while driving down a highway near his home in the outpost outside Shechem. His funeral will be in Chavat Gilad, Wednesday, 1 p.m. Okay. Ashkenazic chief rabbi David Lau released a statement. He was heartbroken by Shevach's death. He described him as a unique, affable, and rare character who devoted his life to saving lives, teaching Torah, and upholding Judaism in the land of Israel. Head of the local settler council, Yossi Dagan, said residents in the Shomron and all of Israel grieve this terrible loss, embrace the family and the orphaned children. He was a man of grace, a man of Torah. Prime Minister Netanyahu tweeted, security forces, okay. We'll do everything to find the perpetrators. Shortly before 8 p.m., he was driving in his car on the highway near his home when shots were fired. He was shot in the neck, but he managed to call his wife. He was shot in the neck. It was a drive-by shooting. He managed to call his wife. He told her to call an ambulance. He was able to make a phone call after he was shot. Civilian and military medics rushed to the scene, but he was pronounced dead. He survived by his wife, four daughters, two sons. His eldest child is 11 years old. The child must be bar mitzvah right now. And the youngest is 8 months old. He called his wife and said, I've been shot, call an ambulance. So I'm just going to show you his picture. This is a picture with the family. I don't want anyone to touch the recorder. So you should know who we're talking about. Shemi Kamdamo, and who was? He was a mayil for no payment. He was a rabbi. He was on Magen David Adom. Mm-hmm. He was the father of six children. The oldest was 11 years old. He was 35. Ya'o reached out to me last week and said, I don't know if you saw this, but I thought you would appreciate it. Exactly 1 week ago. Hi, Michal. Hope you're great. I listened to your last Shmiras Halashon class. About not speaking words that aren't necessary. If you haven't seen this yet, I thought you would appreciate it. It was a post by Sivan Mechav Meir. Here we go. Shalom, Sivan. This is somebody reached out, Sivan Mechav Meir. This is Ya'el Shavach, the widow of Rav Raziel Shavach, Zichron Alav Recha, who was murdered by terrorists 2 years ago. I suppose that what I'm about to say will be unfamiliar and strange to most of your readers. We are now at the beginning of the 6 weeks known as the Days of Shovavim, a name given by the Kabbalah, which incorporates the first letters of Shmo Ve'era Bo B'Shalach Yitro Mishpatim. There are those who are especially careful during these weeks in all matters concerning their behavior towards others, in the areas of modesty, and in the area of Lashon Hara. Beginning with our first year of marriage, my husband Raziel would observe a ta'anit dibur during this entire period. Ta'anit dibur. This meant he would speak only when it was absolutely necessary, would certainly not engage in chit-chat or gossip, would pay careful attention to every word that he spoke, and mostly he would just be silent. Many of those around us thought this was a weird practice, but I can tell you we developed a secret inner language and nonverbal communication between us. There are many manners that cannot be confined to words, that are beyond daily speech. I was thinking that with the flood of words we hear every day, especially as the elections approach, it's important to remind ourselves there are also exists a quiet rhythm to the lives of certain people who are all around us. Next week, that means it's this week. This was last week when Al sent it to me. Next week marks 2 years since Raziel's murder, and my 6 children and I enter the days of Shovuvim once again. We just started Parashat Shmos. We do this without Abba, but with a reminder from him at this time of year to notice what we say, how much we say, and why we say it. So let us go back. Certainly not to be mischaber with leitzim. Umimela called drachav line 2 on page 156. Umimela called drachav v'chol dibrav you yishayim v'lo pegumim. And certainly all your ways and all your speech, all your words, I could not have come up with a better, more appropriate lesson. Shovavim began, we just leaned Parshas Shmos. All of your words and all of your actions should be yashar, relo pegumim. What's the English translation of pegumim? Deficiency, I said like injury, okay, without deficiency. Also, such a person is worthy to cling to the Torah of God, v'lahagos bo yama v'layla. So literally, to grab onto the daf, to grab onto the board, and that is what saves a person's life when there are turbulent, churning waters all around us. And certainly, we live in such a time, Hashem should really please God have mercy on us, but we're in turbulent times. We need to grab onto the Torah. V'zesha kosov. This is what the pasuk says in Tehillim. After it says, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo alach b'tzas v'shaim uv'der chata'im uv'moshe v'leitzim lo yashav. The very next pasuk is uv'soras Hashem yaga yamam v'layda. Okay, so first David HaMelech tells you, as you open up Sefer Tehillim, the first thing King David tells you, which is the pasuk that Chavetz Chaim has been teaching, Ashrei Ish, fortunate is he who does not walk in the ways of the wicked, who does not stand with the sinners, who does not sin with the scoffers. And the very next pasuk is, Im ki im bisoras Hashem chavtso, because to the Torah of Hashem he desires, is his desire, uvisoras so yaga yamam v'layla, and in his Torah he contemplates day and night. This is the pasuk that the Chavetz Chaim quotes here, v'zesh ha'kasav, and this is what it says in Tehillim, and in Torah, you should contemplate day and night. V'lo yibata afilu shah achas. And you should not be bitter. There should not be a waste of time. You should not squander your time, not even for 1 hour. Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch, in his commentary to Tehillim, says on this pasuk, Kim besoras Hashem chav. So first, I saw a beautiful var. First, it's listen to pasuk. Kim besoras Hashem chav. So you desire, your chefetz is the Torah of Hashem. And then it says, uvisora so yaga yamam v'layla. In his Torah, you contemplate day and night. First, it's Hashem's Torah. But if you really desire to cling to Torah, you will come to kaviyachal, in a sense, own, the Torah will become yours. First, it's ki'im besoras Hashem chefso. But then it becomes uvisara so yaga yom v'layla. You will come to be a person of Torah. It will be your Torah. It doesn't remain only Hashem's Torah. Hashem doesn't want it to only be his Torah. That's not the point. Hashem had a whole conversation with the Malach HaYasharis before he gave the Torah. Chazal tells in the Gemara, and the Malach HaYasharis said, why are you giving them the Torah? Keep the Torah up here for you. You're going to give them the Torah. They're sinners. They're weak. They speak Lashon Hara. They can't get it right. They don't dress properly. They don't eat properly. You're going to give them the Torah. So Hashem says, what's in the Torah? You're a Malachim. Can you do lo tknaf? Can you do lo signav? Can you keep low tirtzach? You can't. This isn't for you. Lo b'shamayim hi. The Torah is not in the heavens. Lo nitna Torah l'malach ha'yasharis. The Gemara says b'feirush. The Torah is not given to heavenly angels. It's meant for us. So, ki'im b'soras Hashem chefso. If you strive to cling to the Torah of God, uv'soraso yehagah yomam v'layla, the Torah will become yours. You want to take ownership, so to speak. Obviously, it's Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah. Av Torah says Rav Shem Shafal Hirsch. What is the word chafetz?
Desire.
What?
Desire.
One.
So he says, interestingly, it's a stronger form of chapes. Li chapes l'mashu. What does it mean? To look or to seek. Well, he says, replace the sin with the end or tzaddik. Did I take a drink of this yet since I came here?
No.
I don't think so, right?
No.
Because my watch was late, so we were late, so I just started right away. I was going by late watch this morning, not knowing. I was just 7 minutes late when I realized in the kitchen clock why I had so much extra time this morning. Thank God it wasn't a half an hour late. I'd still be at home. So Rav Hirsch says chafet is a strong form of chapes, which means to seek. So you know you're playing hide and seek when you're kids. It denotes the goal and the striving for something. So really what we're supposed to be doing with Torah is searching out for it in our lives. We're supposed to always be looking for the Torah and ways to apply Torah. In contrast to the Rasha'im of the first pasuk, the Chata'im and the Leitzim, he finds his goals and his strivings for them only in the law of God. So what are my goals? What are my strivings? What is my seek in life? What is my the Chapes L'mashu? Only the law of God. There his goals have been set and his paths marked out. That's what my goals are. That's what my path is. And has been given to him for his understanding and for fulfillment by him. So again, Hashem gave us the Torah. He gave it to us, understand it. Lo nin the Torah, the Malach Esharet. It's not given to the Malach Esharet because they can't keep Torah. They can't seek it. They can't strive for it. They do not have Bechira Chafshis. We talked about Okhtar. They don't have free choice. They can't choose. It has been given to him, meaning Torah was given to man for our understanding, for fulfillment by man, and therefore his constant and most intensive thinking moves in his own divine law should be by day and night. That's what we should be contemplating. This is what should be thinking about when Yomam and Laila. There's not times when we're off. It's important to remember that this week for of Aaron Lichtenstein, I should have brought it. I didn't think of it until I'm speaking now. Hashem didn't want me to have it. Aaron Lichtenstein speaks very strongly about it. Specifically, interestingly, vacations. It's wonderful to go away, but we just have to remember that we're always supposed to be seeking out by day and by night, wherever we are, whatever environment we're in, whatever country we're in, whatever aura we're in. Torah does not take a break. There's no vacation from Torah. There's no such thing from a life of Torah. You don't take a break. Yomam, during the day, the time of active fulfillment of life's tasks. So during the day is when you're busy with all of your life's tasks. The Torah must be your guide for your thinking, your desire, and your action. So when you go to the grocery, you have to be thinking about how can I fulfill the halacha in the grocery. Now, oh my gosh, now you can't eat quinoa without... You have to think, what am I supposed to do in the grocery? In the time of your active fulfillment in life's tasks, you have to think, desire, and your action should be Torah. It protects him against the ways of the Rishayim and the Chataim. And then Laila, by night, when man rests from his daily labor, and you turn your perspective and sense to sense, you turn to perspective, an inner sensitive being, then you should devote to Torah study. So he says something beautiful here. Listen, Yomam means the application of Torah. Laila doesn't only mean day and night. Yomam means apply the Torah in your daily lives. Laila means when you have time to study the Torah. Yomam represents a time when you're busy with the world. That's when you should be applying the Torah. And Laila represents the time for contemplation and study. His leisure hours are utilized to enrich and ennoble his mind. Your leisure hours, what do we do in our spare time? It's a good question. We should ask ourselves, what do we do in our spare time? Are they used to enrich and ennoble our minds, our emotions, through ever-growing recognition of all that is good and true? The only thing that is Tov and Emes is Torah. By ever-renewed and increasing enthusiasm for goodness and truth. In this manner, he will remain far from the Moshav Leitzim forever. Furthermore, what is Uvisoraso Yehaga? Yod, hey, gimel, hey. What's that word? It means to contemplate. But what does it mean? Says Rav Hirsch, it's the active thinking which demands expression. So you must actively think, you must actively contemplate, and then it demands expression. It's not enough to just think Torah. It's not enough to learn Torah by Laila. You must apply active thinking that demands expression. thoughtful expression of human speech. Lishoni tagatzid kasecha, from Kapitel Tehillah, chapter 35, Lamed Hei. Hence, it is also the very specific expression denoting the thoughtful study of Torah. It cannot accomplish through mere thoughts without words, but requires precise verbal expression of the thought which is being brought to life. So we should think about Torah. We should apply Torah, and we should be talking about Torah. If a person is thinking about Torah, applying Torah, and talking about Torah, then there's no time to talk Lashon Hara. And there's also no inclination to talk Lashon Hara. Yehoshua, too, was charged as true in teaching that Sefer Yehoshua, and it's correct. In the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, it's something that I spoke about in the Nach Yomi, lo yamush Sefer Torah zemipicha v'hagisa bo yomim v'layla. Right in the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, he was told, this word of Torah should not move from your mouth. You must contemplate it. You must actively think about it. Yom and Valaya. Thus, Hey Gimbal Hey is the result of active thinking as well as thoughtful verbal expression. So you could understand how Uvisura So Yega Yom and Valaya is the contrast to Lashon Hara. Why does the Chofetz Chaim bring it here? Besides the fact that he's speaking about Moshe of Leitzim, you also see that contemplation or active thinking through verbal expression of Torah will prevent Lashon Hara. If your conversation is Torah focus, like Raziel Shavach, Hashem Yikom Damo, did not speak idle chatter. Okay, so that if someone's speaking in Torah, if someone's speaking in Chesed, if someone's speaking Halacha, then they're not speaking Lashon Hara. Let's go. Vizesh or Kosov? Anything? Anyone? Any questions or comments? Vizesh or Kosov? Vizraso Yega Yaman Valaida. Velo Yibata Afilusha Achas. I saw one thing, Mishpech, I could not find it, but it was a week after this Singh Mashas as well. It was a serum. I must have been a Rav, a Gadol, but he made different siyumim. But one siyum was specifically on finishing Shas from all the extra time, like when he was at an appointment, when he was traveling in a car, when he was waiting for something. What would he do during those times he was doing? Did you see it? Is that why you're nodding?
No, I
tried to go back and find it. But one siyum was specifically for all the learning he did during the extra time. A person can't be mevatel even one moment or 1 hour. Kikol dibur mi divrei Torah sheidaber, because all words of divrei Torah that he speaks, hu na'ale me'od na'ale la'alot lam aliyah, it's very elevated. V'nechmad mi zahav umi paz rav, it is sweeter. It's from Tehillim. It's a paraphrase of Tehillim. V'nechmad mi zahav, it's more precious than gold and from fine gold. Acharei shehu zahir al dibur, after he is careful and on guard about his word, shalola kalalam v'shalola pagmam, that he should not say accursed words, that he should not speak, you know, light speech, and he should not injure or cause disgrace to his mouth. But also ha'ish yeka ishasu al pagim maim. That's how Tehillim continues. Okay, he's now quoting from the next passage. Why do I keep closing this? It's a good question. After Ashri Yishasho Lach Betzas V'Shar. Pasuk off. Then pasuk based, which we already explained according to first. Kim b'soraso shem chafso. First, it's God's Torah, but make it yours. Uvisoraso yaga yamam v'layda. Then v'haya ka'eish shasu al palgei mayim. He will be like a strong rooted tree by a brook of water. Obviously, a tree that is by a spring of water is healthier and stronger than a tree that is receives no water and no sustenance. That is the kind of person you will become. Also ha'ish yihya ka'eish shasu al palgei mayim. Such a person will be a person who is like a tree rooted by a stream, by a brook of water. And all the further things that are said, his fruit will be given in his time, his leaves will not wither. If you make yourself into a Torah personality, a Torah person, then everything you do will be successful. I want to tell you something so interesting. I don't know why I just thought of it. I thought of it because when I say make yourself into a Torah personality, I don't mean a person who's necessarily a gadol dor that they're writing a book about you. Each one of us should make ourselves into a Torah personality. Each one of us is a chiv to say, what am I speaking about? Think of Raziel Shavach during these weeks of Shovavim. So if you remember last time, we spoke about Mr. Hecht, Alav Hashem, Mr. Stuart Hecht, who is Nifter. We end up by saying that, remember I told you his wife told me he woke up at 3 a.m. every morning to learn from 17 Sfaram. So I spoke about him at the M, and I sent a shiur to his granddaughter. I said, you know, please listen all the way to the end. I think that it'll be appreciated. She said it was a big nechama. But she said one of the most interesting things is her grandfather was very careful about Shmir Salashan. And of the 17 Sfarim he learned from every morning, when he woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, a few of them were Sfarim about Shmir Salashan. I said, I didn't even know that. But it's not only the gedolim who should make themselves into a Torah personality, v'chol asher yaseh yatzliach. It's incumbent upon all of us. We can make ourselves like a tree who is rooted by a brook of water. V'yu kam alav yeser advarim she'amar b'sefer tehillim. And all the rest, lo kein ha'rashayim. Rashayim are like chaff with the wind blows away. And the chata'im will be brought to judgment, punishment. But Hashem knows the ways of the tzaddikim. The ways of the wicked will be lost. Further quoting, does anyone have any questions? Are you with me? Or everything's, we know what we're talking about? Okay, so this was the first grand Dirshu celebration, Motzei Shabbos Chanukah, at Yerushalayim's Binyanei Ha'umah Convention Center. Rav Yitzchak Ezrachi, Rosh Yeshiva Meir Yerushalayim, spoke. The great Gaon Rav Meir Simcha Devinsk, known as the Or Chaim, Or Sameach, I'm sorry, I know it's not the Or Chaim, known as the Ur Samech and the Meshe Chachma, was learning with his Chavrusa, and they reached a complex Tosos. They pored over the text, but they couldn't find the Pshat. They toiled until they were both exhausted, but they didn't succeed in understanding. So Rav Meir Simcha Devin said to his Chavrusa, let's stop, let's take a break, let's use this time to daven. Now what do you think you would daven for? I think I would daven for wisdom. He said, no, let's stop, let's take a break, let's daven for Ahavas Torah. So as Chavrusa said, why should we daven for Ahavas Torah? Shouldn't we daven for Havanas HaTorah? Why should we daven for love of Torah? Maybe we should daven for Bina, understanding of Torah. So Meir Simcha answered with a mashal. Imagine a mother leaves her child with a babysitter. The child starts to cry and soon is inconsolable, crying even as the babysitter attempts to comfort him. Okay, this is not such a far-fetched scenario, whether for your children or your grandchildren, something you could relate to. The kid doesn't want two of my kids work at Fitwise Friday afternoon, and my daughter said the other week, there was one child who did not stop, and they're little, they're like 3 years old, it's the after-school program. He could not stop crying for his mother the whole time. He wouldn't let go of my daughter's hand. They called the mother. So sometimes it happens, even if they like the babysitter or the Fitwise program, sometimes they just want their mother. Then suddenly the mother returns. She takes the child into her arms. He stops crying. Both the babysitter, okay, this is Rav Yitzchak Ezrachi Shlita, Rosh Yeshiva Meir. Both the babysitter and the mother tried to soothe him. But the difference is the mother loves the child so deeply, the mother and child are like one entity because of the love. She feels his pain. She immediately perceives, is he hungry, is he tired? The babysitter might not know what's wrong. The mother knows instinctively what's wrong. The depth of her love is reflected in the depth of her understanding. The fact that she has so much love means she understands her child. So too, the Torah is a song. But to hear it properly, to interpret its meaning, one has to daven to love Torah. If we love Torah, we will understand Torah. So we daven first for Ahava, because with Ahava comes Havana. So let's go back inside. Okay, Umasha Misayim. Okay? And the Pasuk then says so the Chafetz Chaim here is really going through this kapitel of Tehillim. Pasuk Dalet is lo kein harasha'im, not so the wicked, ki im kamotz asher tidefenu ruach. They are like the husk, the chaff, which the wind drives away. Says Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, it succumbs to the force of the wind, the chaff. Succumbs to the force of the wind and drives it hither and yon. I don't know, this was translated from Germany in the 1800s, but the wind takes the garbage, the outer piece, and it blows it here and there. So are the lawless, those who are lawless, without Torah law. They have neither seed nor support. They allow themselves to be swayed in every direction by the force of passion and temptation. A strong-rooted tree does not blow about because it's strong-rooted. So if you're strong-rooted in these realms, you understand where you're supposed to be. But the lawless are swayed in every direction by the forces of passion and temptation. And this is how the kapitel says, Lo kein harishayim kim kamotz asher to defend ruach. Hainu harishayim v'haleitzim. These are the wicked and these are the scoffers. She'os kim tamid b'divrei hevel v'leitzonis. They're osek always in words of hevel of alim, nothingness, and leitzonis. And it's something important for us to, like we said, not only to not be mischaber with such people, but to think to ourselves, to notice the quality of our conversation and the things we talk about. I heard of Shai Shechter saying a shir a few months ago, but he said, try one day one day, if you could do it for one day, to keep a diary of everything he spoke about that day. He said it's horrifying at the end of the day. It's embarrassing to see all the senseless things, needless things, never mind the sinful things. So I didn't do it yet. I don't know if I'm afraid to do it or I'm telling myself I don't have the time to do it, but just think about it. To keep a record, it will be, I'm not telling you what to do. Perhaps I should try it, even for an hour a day, a time when you're talking, okay? I'm not talking about Baruch Hashem when we're in Shir, because then generally our speeches are Baruch Hashem Torah guided. But that's Laila, when you're contemplating Torah, when you're studying the Torah, but by your mom, when you go out to the world. So write down, keep a diary. So I haven't done it, but maybe I should do it. That's a total bli neda. I don't know if I want to do it, but it's a scary thought. How many words escape my mouth every day? So never mind not being mischaber with the late Sanim, but not to be mischaber with my own late, with my own Yetzer Hara within. Because the Rishayim and the Leitim are Oskim Tamid. Tamid means, I've spoken about this many times, always and consistently. B'divrei Hevel v'Leitzanos. But nothingness and mockery. Afshe Misarvim Gamkin Divrei Torah B'toch Leitzanos. Heim Nechshavim Kumotz. But they mix words of Torah, can think they're not so bad. In the middle of all their Leitzanos, so they are considered the chaff that will blow away in the wind. Oh my God. V'zashem misayim hakasuv, and this is what the pasuk, the kapitel finished with, al kein, therefore, lo yakumu rishaim b'mishpa, the lawless, the wicked, shall not stand up in judgment, v'chata'im b'adat tzadikim, and the sinners will not be able to stand in the gathering, in the edah, in the congregation of the tzadikim, v'hainu, shemi'uta d'mi'uta divrei Torah, the tiny amount of Torah that is mixed in with the, shemi'uta d'mi'uta divrei Torah. It's a double lashon in Aramaic. It means the teeny tiny amount of Torah that they actually speak about or expound upon. You know, so you could go and you could think, oh, I'm not such a leitz, I'm not such a rasha, I also give a dvar Torah at the table. So fine, so the whole Shabbos table is full of lashon hara, but there was one dvar Torah. They mix in a little bit of Torah with the cursed words that they speak. There is no kolach of kedusha in those words. And perhaps it's something that we could all, going forward, we just passed the week of Shin, first close. Maybe it's something I'm really talking to myself to keep in mind. Are we going to all know the people at this table? But can I know those who made the, we're not all on vacation, those who made the effort to come learn, they're going to like see us with our notebooks, you know, every time we meet someone, we're going to all be pulling out a little notebook and writing with a pen. What did I just speak about? There will be no words of Kedusha that will stand in your merit at the time of judgment. So before we get to the halacha, I would like to quote from Sparkling Speech. I've recommended this sefer in many classes, and in this class we've been using it, and Shari have quoted from it. I put on my website as recommended reading. I finished it. I think I'm going to go back now a second time. Later, I would like to go back a second time and take notes. The first time I just read through it without taking notes. So I want to quote from Sparkling Speech. Okay, is everyone okay? You with me? We're starting to run out of time, but yes? The art of silence, to bring our shir full circle. We sort of began by talking about Rabbi Raziel Shavach, Hashem Yikom Damo, Zichrono Levracha. And who, during this time period of Shalvim, Mamish, unless it was absolutely necessary, did not talk. And his wife said, it sounds weird if you wrote that, but we developed a secret language, and there's a way to communicate that is nonverbal. The art of silence. When offering guidance on how to effectively control oneself from the various forms of sinful and inappropriate speech, the Chafetz Chaim, right, gives a pragmatic, this is from Sefer Shmir Salashon, Shahar Tavuna. The Chafetz Chaim gives a pragmatic suggestion. Speak less, and master the art of how and when to be silent. He points out, man was created with two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, one mouth, in order to draw our attention to the importance of limiting one's speech. Lachain, because in the Sefer, I sound I always give the sources, Nivru ba'adam shtei einayim, shtei osnayim, shtei nechirim upa'achad. Lo mar shayim at b'dibur. The reason you only have one mouth is to teach you that unlike two openings for speech to come out, you only have one. The Mishnah clearly reveals the high regard ascribed by Chazal to appropriate silence. Said Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, kol yamai gadalti b'ne chachamim, we spoke about this Mishnah in class, I found nothing better for the body than silence. The Gemara assigns a proportionate ratio in which silence is valued over speech. This is from Maseches Megillah, Yud Chas Amar Aleph. When Rav Dima came, he said, a word is worth a sella, but silence is worth two. Isn't there an English expression like that? Mm-hmm. Speech is silver, but silence is golden or something. That's based probably on this Gemara, okay? When Rav Dima came, he used to say, a word is worth a sella, but silence is worth two. So it's silver, and then it's gold. Indeed, the practical gains from limiting one's speech and knowing how and when to be silent cannot be overstated. The Chafetz Chaim declares, Shmiras HaLashon, Shaar Tevuna 2, a person who is accustomed to silence is spared numerous sins. Additionally, one who maintains the characteristic of silence will be deemed trustworthy. It's so true. And anyone will be able to reveal their secrets. It's so true. If you've had experience with this, it's so true. You don't tell people who you know, if they're gossiping to you, you know that when they leave you, they're gossiping about you to some bias. You're not going to share personal information with them. The person is trustworthy. You feel that you can either unburden or ask their etza because you know they're not going to take your quandary, your difficulty, and go spread it around town. And therefore, anyone will be able to reveal their secrets. Since he is not prone to talking, he will not reveal things. Furthermore, he is not habitually prone to gossip. When one limits his speech, it results in exercising control over his mouth. He will therefore not impulsively utter words that happen to cross his mind. Furthermore, this is very interesting, somebody watch right now, yes? The Gemara draws our attention to this design. This is so interesting. Maseches Arachin, Taz Zayir Amad Beis. Amar lo kodesh baruch hu l'lashon. Hashem said to the tongue, Kol evarav shel adam zikufim, va'ata motal. Mutal or motel. Kol evarav shel adam mibachutz. The first thing means all the limbs of a person are vertical, but you are laid horizontally. Okay, your arms are vertical. Your legs are vertical. Your tongue, your head, you could say, I guess, is vertical. Your tongue is horizontal. Kol evarav shel adam mibachutz, va'ata mibifnim. All of a person's limbs are on the outside. If you close your mouth, you can't see your tongue. But you can see my hands, you can see my legs, you can see my face, you can see my nose. This is from Arachin Tazayin Amad Alf. Kosh Baruch Hu said to the tongue, all the limbs of the man are vertical, you are horizontal. All the limbs of a man are external, you are inside. Velo od ala shehikafti l'chashtei chomos. Not only that, I established or erected for you two walls. Not only is the tongue inside, contrast that to your eyes. I know you could close your eyes, but in general, when you're awake, your eyes are open. But your tongue, when you're awake, is hidden. I establish for you two walls. Achas shel etzem, one of bone, meaning teeth. Achas shel basar, excuse me, one of flesh, meaning your lips. Ma yutain lecha u'ma yosif lech lashon rimbya. What more could be given to harness you? What more could be added to you? Deceitful tongue. From here it seems, the positioning of the tongue, right, Rabbi Sandler, I finished quoting the Gemara. The positioning of the tongue serves as a deterrent from, deterrent. Someone reached out to me through Nach Yomi. The Shari ladies will appreciate this. I'm always being correct in Shari. It's fine. I appreciate it. I want to be corrected. Someone reached out to me from Baltimore. She said, I'm enjoying Nach Yomi so much. May I respectfully tell you that the past present tense, I was saying smite and smoke rock. Yes. Yeah, you noticed? So you should have told me. I needed someone from Baltimore to tell me. I said, I really appreciate it. Thank you. If she listens to the Shari Rishio, she'll hear how often I'm recorded. Okay, corrected. Where am I up to?
Just because that word came up over and over.
And that parak, so then that was why. From here it seems, the positioning of the tongue serves as a deterrent from speaking inappropriately. So it's supposed to be, look, this is a Gemara, it's not some maisa, it's not some bedtime story. Hashem said, you're horizontal, everything else is vertical. You are internal, everything else is external. You not only that, you have two chomos. One shall etzem, you have your teeth. One shall basar, you have your lips. However, this seems perplexing. Everyone knows the opening, the walls of flesh and bone, and moving the horizontal tongue, says Rabbi Sandler. Ironically, it's an effortless exercise. All this is supposed to be a deterrent from speaking too much. It's an effortless exercise. In fact, it's easier to speak than set any of the other limbs into motion. Isn't that true? It's easier to say, please go get me a cup of water, than to get up and get yourself a cup of water. It's easier to move what's supposed to be harder to operate. Rav Yosef Tzvi Salam poses this question, and he offers an interpretation. He explains, a person should look at the unusual anatomy of the tongue. You should contemplate, think about your tongue, and realize Hashem constructed it differently than his other limbs for a reason, to demonstrate how it should be used. Treat it as if its position and design make it difficult to use. Be careful and sparing with speech, even though physically it's the easiest limb to use. Nevertheless, hashkafically, think about it. Think about how it should be difficult. Say something else. Can I say something else? Really bringing the shiur full circle. Because the Chofetz Chaim is quoting extensively, and we expounded upon extensively, Kapitel Aleph of Tehillim. We have learned that the antidote to sitting with the Leitzim, Rasha'im, and Chataim is Uvisaraso Yegal Yaman V'Laila. According to the Maharsha, there is an indirect method that can empower a person to control his mouth. You are Asok Askecha B'Torah Tishmar Alecha. Shalo Tavo Lidei Lashon Hara. Quoting from the Maharsha to Maseches Avodah Zarah 19b, Eskecha b'Torah, if you are osek in Torah, tishmar alecha, will God guard over you, shalo tavo lidei lashon hara. So what is the antidote to lashon hara?
Torah.
Conversely, we find the more a person indulges in materialistic pursuits, the less meaningful and effective his speech will become. He ends with a beautiful var, this specific chapter. This is explained in the Tiferet Shlomo. When one becomes immersed in this world too much, your speech becomes exiled. He derives this from the pasuk in Shemos. This is from Bishalach. Nevuchim heim ba'aretz, sagar aleim amidbar. Paro said about the Jews, Nevuchim heim ba'aretz, they are confused, they are lost in the desert. Sagar aleim hamidbar, the desert is closed in around them. The word midbar has the same letters as the word medaber, speaker. And therefore the Tiferet Shlomo interprets this pasuk as alluding to the power of speech. When a person is imprisoned in the land, when he's too busy, sagar aleihem hamibra, nevuchim heim ba'aretz, when you're too involved in the inanities of this world, materialism, writes Rabbi Sander, and physicality with the Moshe of Leitzim and the Chataim, the power of speech becomes locked in. Your words, your speech become locked. Sagar aleim hamidbar. You become imprisoned almost to your own speech, and he becomes incapable of appropriate speech. So the antidote clearly to forbidden speech is immersing ourselves in a life of Torah. Let's just finish with a halacha. Confirming suspicions. The Torah does not accept circumstantial evidence as proof of a person's guilt. By the way, it's interesting because it relates to Rabbi Akiva on the ship. We don't accept circumstantial evidence as proof of something. Otherwise, we could say that Rabbi Akiva died. If you saw the ship capsize and you saw Rabbi Akiva being thrown overboard, so circumstantially you could deduce from there that Rabbi Akiva is dead, but that wasn't the case. What happened? He ended up on land. He wasn't dead at all. We do not accept circumstantial evidence as proof of a person's guilt. Thus, when one suspects an individual of improper behavior, he may not decide his suspicions are correct. Based on a person's reaction to accusations, let's say you accuse somebody, you suspect the accuser, they turn all red, they become embarrassed, they become flustered. Maybe that's just the kind of person that they are. It is not shtika kohoda, science is not acquiescence. You cannot base on their reaction or other strange behavior that your suspicions are confirmed. Nevertheless, if in addition to the circumstantial evidence, such suspicions are subsequently supported by another person's claim to have actually witnessed the person engaging in such behavior, you can believe your suspicions are correct. So that's not only that you suspect the person, but someone else saw it. However, to whatever degree possible, the listener is obligated to judge the perpetrator favorably. He must seek to understand his motives and should not be swift to condemn him. Rabelsky used to say, it's not in the biographies that's all. It was a more refined statement, but it was along the lines of, if not for the grace, but for the grace of God go I. If not for the grace of God, that could be me. He refined it a little, so it wasn't that exact statement, but that's what he was saying. If that person, without God's grace, that could be me. So how could I, based on suspicion, be swift to condemn somebody. Maybe I should think to myself, even when someone else says it's true, maybe it could be me. I have to still give them the benefit of the doubt. Should not be swift to condemn. Try and understand his motives. Moreover, one may not pass on the information without fulfilling the precondition for relating negative information for a constructive purpose. With this, we will end. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Okay, Besuras Tovas, we should have Razil Shavach Shem Yukom Damos. His memory should be for a blessing. We should not forget about him. And he should inspire us to ever degree greater degrees of Shmiras Lashon.